What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. Follow me on Twitter at Armand, A-R-M-O-N-D, wake up. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. So if you are on Tumblr, if you got a Tumblr page, go ahead and subscribe to that there. Share the episodes with your friends. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. We are on iTunes. Please vote, comment, rate, do all that good stuff. Judge us. We're giving you free reign to judge us. Facebook.com/ClockRadioSpeakers. Add us there. And the official Twitter of Clock Radio Speakers is CRS Podcast. And of course, I'm not doing this by myself. I got to find different ways to introduce you.
You're trying.
I'm really trying, but I don't know.
Instead, man. We got these awkward transitions. What's going on, everybody? Follow me on Twitter at @doc_beats, S not a Z. Don't forget, you can, of course, grab the show from iTunes. Just search for Clock Radio Speakers, but please rate, review, all that good stuff. Don't forget about the Pulse Radio, right?
Yeah. Pulse Radio every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern. It's the mix show where we pretty much play all of the records that we talk about from this episode.
Go ahead, PulseRadio.com. No, and sometimes Armand just decides, you know what, I'm going to play some unreleased tracks from Kairos or, you know.
Yeah, right. We talked about that last week.
That's right. We've released a podcast. You released a little something.
I did. Catch Up 2 is now available at ArmandWakeUp.com. Download links are powered through Noise Trade and, you know, my Bandcamp. So, you know, shout out to everybody who's downloaded so far. I've gotten some really, really good feedback. And shout out to all the other blogs who've posted it already. Sphere of Hip Hop, South, Nine Elements, et cetera, blah, blah, blah.
So if you got it up on Bandcamp, that means people can just stream individual tracks, right?
Yes.
Perfect. So, you know, if maybe you're listening, maybe you're not ready to commit a download, you know, hard drive space is so scarce these days.
So scarce and so valuable.
It's funny, right? Now that we got all the space we want, now we get streaming. I would have killed for streaming 10 years ago.
Oh, my God. We just had to hope for the best. Even back in the 56K struggle, we really had, it was like life or death. Like, you know what?
No, that's why we had real audio.
Oh, right. We did have real audio. Oh, man.
The RAM to RM struggle.
Oh, my God. RAM. Wow.
Anyway, so Catch Up 2, ArmandWakeUp.com.
Yep.
What else, man? What's going on?
A lot, man. We're doing 2 episodes this week, right?
Yeah, so we've been promising a DJ Premier retrospective to at least get started on it. We have notes. We're ready to go. Yep. We want to do that, but we also want to make sure that we address some things that have been happening. So we're going to split this week's episode into 2 parts. What we're doing right now, we're going to talk about the new Joe Budden album. We're going to talk about Super Bowl. We're going to talk about your man, Papoose. We're going to talk about a couple things. And then the other episode will be... The DJ Premier retrospective. So if you somehow accidentally clicked on the wrong title and you were waiting to hear us talk about old Gangstar songs, that's coming. Don't worry.
Just sit back and relax and listen to both. You ain't doing nothing.
That's right.
You ain't doing nothing.
So yeah, man, what do you want to talk about first?
Let's just get right into the heart of the matter, man. Your man Aubrey's back.
Yeah.
Back in full effect.
He's
for the nine deuce.
You've been listening to too much of the Primo playlist on Spotify. I may have to put that up on the site. That was
a very good playlist.
Fortunately, we couldn't find everything on Spotify, but that's all good.
Crazy.
Yeah. So Drake's got a new song.
Yeah.
Calls it a single, but I don't. You know. What is a single? Yeah. Anyway.
What is this? What is an award?
What is a single? I mean, you know, it used to be. Oh, is there a video? You know,
he shot a video.
What's up?
He has shot a video for this.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we see videos. I mean, if that's the case, then I think Rick Ross had 10 singles off of, you know, the last album.
He pulled a massacre. Remember when 50 did that and that was like revolutionary? Now it's like, if you don't do that.
Yeah, because that was when they were trying to do like the DVD. Like it'd be like, you get the CD, the deluxe edition comes with the DVD, right? Wasn't that the deal?
Yes, it was.
For like because he re-released it with Out of Control Remix and, right? Am I thinking of something
else? Nah, that was the re-release. There was an original, there was a deluxe version with the DVD. Oh. And the deluxe DVD had videos for every song.
Oh, Piggy Bank, remember?
Huh?
Remember the one for Piggy Bank?
No. I don't remember those videos were like pure struggle. Like 50 just shot them all in like 45 minutes. Like he just let the album play and he just rapped to them behind a green screen and they just put stuff behind them based off of the song.
The greatest lazy 50 Cent video though is Good to You, right?
Is that the one where they're in his mansion?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad.
Cutting in like parts from like Sin City or something?
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking of Funeral Music. I forgot about the Good to You video. Yeah, that was weird. Had absolutely nothing to do with Sin City. All of a sudden, here's Jessica Alba, like just staring into the camera. Like, what does that have to do with you killing people on a record, Curtis?
Yeah. So Drake started from the bottom. How do you feel about this song?
I'm very I'm picky about this song,
and picky. I'll say this. Okay,
I like the song. Like when I heard it twice. I heard it twice initially.
Okay.
So when I heard it through my phone speakers, and I was like, "Oh, this is dope." Again, it didn't sound like anything. It had like a mid '90s New York feel to it.
That piano.
Yeah, that piano was dope.
Very 1996 Queensbridge.
Yes, very Havoc, very Tragedy, Gaddafi, absolutely. Very War Report, much so. So I liked it. I thought it was dope. You know, I'm not expecting Drake to, you know, bar us to death on a record like that. It was just very, you know, his flow reminded me of Kendrick.
I've heard that a lot.
But it didn't bother me. It wasn't like, oh my God, Drake is selling it. Whatever. Everybody's listening to Kendrick. He's inspiring his peers, which is cool. So I liked the record. I thought it was dope. Then I moved it to my speakers and I heard that atrocious bass line and it totally ruined the song for me.
Atrocious bass line?
Atrocious. I can't stand it. It just doesn't sound right. It just sounds like a Fruity Loops, my first bass line, and he just like put stuff in there and then just tuned it to different.
It's a lot of stock 808s, really.
He tried to play it or something like that. It just doesn't sound right, yo.
Did you you listen to it in the car?
Yes.
Okay.
Still didn't like it. Baseline still. I need you to filter that. That's the first thing I said when I was like, "Where's Doc?" Like, if you weren't out of town, I'd be like, "Dude, you got to filter this baseline out for me." What about you? What'd you think about it?
The first time I heard it, I didn't like it.
Okay.
I don't really like what he was doing with his voice. I don't know if I'd call it Kendrick inspired, but it's different. But what I think we're seeing, what I think we're going to see from Drake, and who knows, I could be totally off. But, and really honestly, and I'm foreshadowing a little bit what I'm going to talk about later, listening to the Joe Budden album, listening to some other stuff, I think not only is Drake influential for a lot of people, but he was everywhere on guest appearances in 2012.
Yep.
Sort of draking it up.
Mm-hmm. Draking it up.
Right?
Right.
He has a sort of guest appearance flow now almost. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of like Pop That or, you know, like that really comes to mind. But I think he has to sort of change it up a little bit.
Okay.
I think like 2011 Drake, which is the last time we had solo music from him.
Yes.
There was definitely a sound to that, right? Think about I'm On One. Think about She Will. Think about some of the big singles from Take Care. Like, there was a sound to that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I Need Some T-Minus. Maybe, you know, 40 for, like, the album track. You know, there was, like, there was elements to the Drake sound. And I feel like that element has sort of been... That's in a lot... That's not just Drake sound anymore, right? That element is in a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. So I almost wonder, much like how I felt about, initially I didn't like Power from Kanye.
Really?
I didn't.
Oh, I thought you fell in love with that from jump. Okay.
I thought the mix was chaotic and it drove me nuts.
The mix was bad.
But just in general, it didn't grab me like it grabbed everybody else, but you know, it was signifying for him a different step.
Okay.
I wonder what we're going to get from Drake. I don't think we're going to get Take Care Part 2.
No, I don't think so either.
So, my mind's not made up about it yet. The hook is catchy, even if I don't think I like it. It's funny, like, I don't necessarily love this song by where Drake goes with this. Like, Drake leaked out so many tracks before Take Care that who knows if this even ends up on the album, right?
Right.
So I'm not worried or anything like that, but I just think it's interesting that this is sort of his first, you know, it's 2013. He did that whole string of guest appearances last year. Now he's like, all right, solo music. And this is what he chooses to go with.
Mm.
Remember, I mean, Headlines was sort of his attempt to be a little darker. He was trying to be all, you know, acting hard in the video, which is funny because it's
Drake. I was just talking to people about that. Yeah,
you know, now this sounds grimier.
Yeah, it does. Right.
So I'm going to reserve some judgment. Let's see what we actually get.
But I mean, like, what do you, I guess my question is, you know, where does Drake go from here on this next album? Like, as people, you know, like, they feel like they want to expect something from him, and he just has one lane, or he has maybe like two or three lanes lyrically. How stressful his life is since he's been famous, failed relationships, and his form of rapidy rap. So I mean, you know, like what do you want to expect from this? That, like, we know that the real star of this album is going to be wherever they decide to go with the production. And that doesn't discredit Drake. That just says that his level of production is really good.
I'm not so worried about his content, but I've never been one to be a stickler for content.
Because,
Listen, if you really want to talk content, you're going to eliminate, you know, the vast majority of hip-hop.
Sure.
You know, again, I really have no idea. I suspect the next leak will be totally different from this as well.
Mm.
Right? Let's see. Because, I mean, you know, people kind of forget now, but like when Marvin's Room came out, people were just stunned.
Yeah.
That he was going to go there.
Yeah.
So let's see where we go this time. Trust I'm sort me. Of, I'm taking a wait and see approach to this.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm not mad at that.
The baseline doesn't upset me nearly as much as it upsets you.
Yeah, I'm offended.
You're offended. You're appalled.
I'm appalled. Yes, ridiculous.
Oh man, this song is so crazy. So yeah. Obviously we had the Super Bowl. Well, I don't know if you were rooting for either team.
No. You know, nah, I don't. I'm not a big fan of the Ray Lewis angle. And then, 49ers, they're one of our division rivals. I'm a Rams fan, so I can't cheer for either team. But I watched the majority of the game.
I can't stand the Ravens.
Of course you can't.
No, I just don't even understand how people can like them.
Of course you can. Who's your team, Doc?
The Patriots.
Okay, so there's one level of bias there.
So we're all going to just forget about the whole Ray Lewis murder thing. We're just going to ignore that, right? And we're going to pretend, like, I think it's funny that everybody was sort of like, you know, the whole Deer Antler Spay, like, controversy. People were sort of shocked by it. And it's like, really? This guy who's been playing professional football for almost, like, 15 years came back in record time after tearing his triceps and nobody thought anything was fishy, right? Terrell Suggs is a scumbag. Ray Lewis is a scumbag. Like, I just have no, just add it, just get out of it. They're all scummy. Just scummy.
Oh.
Bunch of cheaters, man.
Oh, hello, Pot. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
You stole the Super Bowl from us.
Oh, here you go.
Yes, here I go.
Stole a Super Bowl.
Stole it, and barely stole it. How y'all cheat, and then y'all barely won off. Vinatieri's on my koofy list.
He's on my you mean the greatest field goal kicker in NFL history?
That yes, he's on my Kufi. He's not the greatest kicker in NFL history because he's on my Kufi list.
Forget about the Rams. Being,
what?
Forget about the Rams, man.
Nah, B. We picked up. You see, we picked up your man off of after getting released.
Who's that?
God, what's the dude's name that just got released? The wide receiver.
Oh, I don't even know.
I can't think of his name. I'll figure it out. All in the name to avoid dead silence. We'll move on. What'd you think of the game?
You know, I think the Niners got robbed at the end.
Yeah, they did.
That was clearly holding. About the day after is all the pundits on TV going, well, you know, you shouldn't expect them to call holding at the end of a game like that. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? So why do we have rules again? Like, and aren't you the same pundits who get like really mad in the NBA if they do or don't call a particular foul? Like, I don't know. It's pretty, to me, it was pretty obvious that there was holding. And then I give credit to the biggest crazy thing is like, you know, everybody thought that the 49ers had such a coaching advantage. I can't believe nobody, I mean, I didn't think of it either, but I'm surprised nobody tried to come up with a counter argument of, you know, maybe if anybody can get the better of him, it's his brother. Because, you know, his brother outcoached him at the end. Like, that's what it boils down to. I think the 49ers were a better team.
They are better.
I don't think the Ravens were a particularly great team.
Nah, the last few Super Bowls have been, like, won by teams who caught fire.
Not even that. Like, they were lucky to win that Denver game.
Yeah.
Right, they escaped that Denver game, right? The Patriots were a travesty, right? And then they were losing people left and right. I don't even know how Bernard Pollard is allowed to play against the Patriots anymore. Like, can't it be like restraining order for people? No joke. He's the same guy who was it? Let's see. I'm trying to think of his resume against the Patriots. He took out Tom Brady for a whole year. He injured Gronk last year. He took out Welker a couple years back, and he totally knocked the guy unconscious and kicked him out of a game this year too. Like, man, you'd think some team in the Patriots division would sign him just to, you know, just to injure a Patriot twice a year.
Right, goon work.
Total goon. That you know what? That's a better word. Ravens are a bunch of goons. But like that.
We picked up Titus Young, by the way.
Titus Young. Who is that?
Wide receiver for who let him go?
Yeah,
the Lions let him go.
Behavior
and attitude issues. We desperately need
behavior and attitude issues.
Right, it means he didn't shuck and jive.
Oh, here we go.
No, we desperately need weapons for Bradford to have.
I was gonna say you need a better quarterback.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Kicking yourself you didn't take Robert Griffin, huh?
No, that wasn't the same year. We've had Bradford for like 3 years.
I know, but you gave away the number two pick, which would have been for Griffin because you had Bradford.
Anyway. I'm not mad at Bradford.
Anyway.
Remember that episode of The Simpsons when the dude bought Homer the Dallas Cowboys and they were in his front yard? Those are wide receivers. It's bad. But anyway.
Anyway, now that we tuned everybody out, Your girl Beyonce performed.
She did.
Killed it.
She did.
One of the better halftime shows I've seen. I think Prince's was better.
Yeah, that's probably the third. Well, I didn't even watch all of Janet's halftime.
Nah, Janet's wasn't as good as this.
Nah, but I'm saying like normally I change the channel altogether. Okay.
You know, a bunch of old white people, they love U2's halftime show from like a decade ago. Man, come on.
Tom Petty.
The worst one was the one where it was like Nelly, Missy Elliott, Aerosmith. Like, you remember that one?
It was like Fergie and that was bad.
It was like let's combine old and new.
Let's combine the most hated artists all and let's put them all on a giant stage and throw lights and smoke behind them and see if we can get them to watch.
But no, I thought Beyonce did great. I watched the game from a bar in rural Wisconsin. Needless to say, even in rural Wisconsin, every man in that bar was transfixed by Beyonce.
Of course. Of course.
Anything else you want to say about the Super Bowl?
What was your favorite commercial?
They were all almost uniformly terrible. They are, man.
Hey, what was the worst?
That GoDaddy one was pretty bad.
That was bad.
They're all bad.
That was bad. I'm really glad that my daughter wasn't with me. Like,
let me tell you, GoDaddy is just a scummy company. Like, nah, seriously, scummy. If you need to go buy a domain name, go to hover.com. That's where we get that's where we do Clock Radio Speakers through. It's where I do all my websites through. It's $10. It's $10 a year. They don't scam you on the way out trying to make you buy stuff you don't need. It just works. Like GoDaddy, they are a terrible company. Their whole business model is, yeah, we're gonna lure you in with a cheap first year price, but we're gonna make it impossible to check out without paying for an extra $50.
Right.
And then and then their ads are just, oh man.
I got my money back. As soon as I saw that charge, I think they charged me like $30.
Yeah,
$9.99. I was like, oh yeah, let me get that back. I'd say, yeah, GoDaddy was the worst. I like the Mutombo Geico commercial.
Yeah, that was all right. There was a couple that were cool. But you know what? The audio one with the kid like gets the black eye because he like it's like prom or
dance. Oh, he went to prom. Like, yeah, that was cool.
That was cool. I like that one. But nah, most of them are just, man.
What's the asking price? Is it 1.3 or 3.1?
For what?
A commercial.
Oh, it's at least it's got to be 3.1 then. Jesus. I know.
And that's just 30 seconds. And there's people who, you know, there's companies who paid 60-second slots, several slots during the game. You know, I think I saw a Bud Light commercial like 4 or 5 times.
Oh, you know what? The Bud Light commercial was Stevie Wonder.
That was bad.
They should be. Stevie Wonder, man. Who is guiding his career? Gotta be ashamed.
No pun intended.
But no, not Stevie. Come on. We don't make fun
of. It was right there.
We don't make fun of Stevie on Clive Radio Speakers. Right, no, no. All right. Enough about the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Switch to music.
Switch to music.
You linked me to this, right? This interesting article about Macklemore.
I posted on Twitter last night that pretty much, you know, made claim that Macklemore isn't really independent. You know, Doc and I have talked about industry plants, quote unquote, you know, where an artist is signed to a label, they're backed by a label, but they give the impression that they're doing everything 100% independent. You know, we've noted Wiz Khalifa, we've noted Drake. Those are the two probably biggest and most notable ones in recent history. And then, you know, with Macklemore, we didn't really talk about Macklemore on the show. We didn't do his album or anything like that. But I think he sold 78,000 first week. Thrift Shop just recently went platinum. You know, they're achieving exceptional major label success, and the claim is that they're 100% independent.
Is the claim that they're 100% independent, or is the claim that they're independent?
The claim is that they're 100% independent.
Okay.
The claim is that they're doing like pretty much everything themselves.
I was going to say, because independent is not a black or white thing.
Right.
You know, it's okay. Yeah, you could, you know, maybe you're not signed to a major, but what about if you have a deal where your label has a distribution and marketing deal with a major?
Right.
Or some company that is indirectly, or not even directly, indirectly, but or the company you have to do marketing and promotion for you, if they're owned by a label, does that make you a major? I mean, right. Does that make you independent? What percentage independent? I would say that the biggest, I don't even know if it really matters much anymore, frankly. The whole independent thing is, I would say for hip hop, it's particularly unique, right? Because don't kid yourself, you know, if you're hearing it on quote unquote urban radio, there's some marketing dollars, we'll call it, behind that, right?
Right.
And you know, if that's bankrolled by, you know, if you're signed to a management company, and the management company has a lot of money, and if they're paying marketing dollars to get your radio on the air, how is that any different than being signed to a major? Like, what is the difference?
Right.
I just don't. I mean, I think they're trying to make it a nice story, and the only reason why it sort of matters is because Billboard itself keeps track of like is this from a major or not from the major in terms of like what is the label on the CD,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it was the only reason why it ever came out as a story is because it was like, oh, they were the highest charting or the first number one independent since whatever.
Like 94 or something like that.
Right. I mean, Death Row used to claim that they were independent.
Yeah, but no, they were independent, but they weren't independent.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, I don't really know if it matters all that much.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you just posed the question yourself. Why does it matter if an artist is independent or not? Why does it matter to the audience?
Yeah, I don't think it does. Do you?
I think it does, but I think it does for stupid reasons. I don't think it's a legitimate reason.
Why do you think it matters?
I don't know, man. I think a huge chunk, there's a sect of music fans who, you know, they're anti the system and, you know, the man and the major labels, they're horrible and they're pushing this poison to our kids and da 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 da. So they're more inclined to spend their dollars towards artists who are doing more things for themselves. You know, Indiegogo, Kickstarter, artists who are using that tool to kind of create albums, supporting them that way as opposed to, you know, the machine behind them. Some people won't like you just because you have the machine behind you. They don't believe that your music is good. They believe that you're achieving success because you have dollars behind you. Whether your music is good or not becomes a secondary factor. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I get it, but then I don't, because I think that's stupid reasoning for whether you like an artist or not. Oh, he's on a major label. That's very backpacker hip hop, Sage Francis. Anikon. Like, that's very much like that style.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Jay-Z's the devil and we hate Diddy and come listen to Paul Barman rap and paint a picture at the same time.
MC Lab Coat.
Right. That was better than what I said on Twitter. That's funny. MC Labco. But yeah,
because then you'd have the gimmick, like instead of Doom with the mask, you'd have to wear the lab coat on stage, like
and your mic, like your mic would be like a flask. Like, yeah. It'd be the microphone and then like the other part of the mic, and it'd be the flask on top of it and have like a green like a green liquid inside of it or something that like mist came up every time.
Just think of all the terrible like mid-90s album covers you could do, like,
yeah. Oh, you mean the all the Kool Keith Dr. Octagon albums? You mean,
yeah, except not albums? Funny, like you'd have to play it like straight. They're like, nah man, I'm really a chemist in here, like, you know, I'm really making science right now, B. Like,
I really, oh my God, that would be amazing. I miss mid-90s gimmick rap. People don't remember that like rap really was like wrestling in the sense of like they were really like gimmick rappers, like horrorcore, like, was a giant
never
gimmick.
Mind that. I mean, I like his beats, but like J-Zone.
Right.
Oh man, I miss J-Zone.
I just saw him on Twitter today. Him and Fonse were talking about Willie D albums. Have you seen the Willie D video for Clean Up Man?
No.
I'm going to have to send that to you. That is the greatest video ever. Ever.
Nah.
I got to send it to you. For real. The hook, the guy on the hook alone is solid gold.
So real quick, back to the Macklemore thing. I think that, yeah. Like, I mean, you mentioned like Drake, quote unquote, industry plant and all that. Like, I think that it used to matter because it used to mean something whether or not that mattered to you or not. But like, you know, I think about like how Master P got started, mm-hmm. right? Or like everybody, all these other unsuccessful artists you'd see who try to buy their way into the back of the source, mm-hmm. right? To get a little notoriety. Like, I think that there used to be something different about being independent, but everything is muddled now, right? If you're on the charts, that used to be because of radio play. Right.
Yes.
And you could assume that if you're on a major, number one, you have that sort of promotion behind you, but also the marketing dollars behind it. So it meant something to get on the charts because that indicated radio play.
Yes.
Right. So it used to be that if an indie artist got on the charts, well, that meant something. Right. But the charts have changed. It's not just radio play. It's iTunes downloads. It's YouTube views, right? All that sort of, they have this formula that increasingly includes all this other stuff, right? Also have sort of, what is the difference between an album and a mixtape? What is a single? What is that? All this stuff is blurring, right? What is an indie? What is a major? The only thing that really sort of matters, I would say the only thing that really matters is, do you like the music or do you not like the music?
Right.
Yes, it is still true that if you listen to the radio, you are overwhelmingly going to hear stuff from a major. And so it is, you know, I could see how people might, so if they bought into the sort of like, oh, you know, Macklemore got a lot of radio play and they didn't, not on majors. So that's a real notable achievement. I guess I sort of get that, but I think that the percentage of people who only get new music from radio is continually decreasing. I think radio matters less. It's not that it's not important, right? It's just that it matters less. So as long as radio matters less and less, I think the distinction doesn't matter much anymore.
Okay. So then if it's about music, do you think Thrift Shop is a good song?
I think it's a catchy song, yeah.
I like how you like Deion Sanders.
I'm not a Macklemore fan.
Okay.
I think Thrift Shop, the video, like, that is the perfect video for that song. It has a retro appeal. It used to be that, like, when you're talking about hipsters, it was this sort of thing. But now, like, people talking about hipsters, quote unquote, and how they look and dress has become more mainstream. It's like just the right. It's the perfect time for that song. I wouldn't necessarily call it a one-hit wonder. I think that Macklemore, especially when he's working with Ryan Lewis, have more talent than a typical quote unquote one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, it's not necessarily for me.
Okay. No doubt. No diggity. Okay.
We need to talk real quick about two of your favorite New York City veteran rappers.
Who are we talking about?
We're talking about your man Joel Santana.
You know what? We just destroyed his tape. We Uncle Filled him out of Clock Radio speakers. Why are we talking about Joel?
He's got another mixtape coming out next month. And he's got an album coming out.
Wow.
And you know who's executive producing the album? Lil Wayne.
You mean he's paying Lil Wayne to use his likeness on his album to drum up some interest? When is the last time you think Lil Wayne and Joel Santana spoke on the phone?
Oh, man.
I think it was probably like Carter 2.
You think it's that bad?
Yes. I don't know.
No, don't they have in that ridiculous trailer or teaser trailer, whatever it was for Joel's mixtape, don't they have, you know, him and Joel's and Wayne in the studio together?
When was that footage?
You don't believe that at all, huh?
Nah, that's old. It's not like Joel's whole style has changed. He's still wearing tilted bandanas and he has smoke and skulls on his clothes like it's 2006. Vampire life.
Yeah, what were they thinking with that?
I mean, what are? That's current.
So what I'm trying to figure out, like, is there any sort of like public demand driving this? Because just because we didn't like the mixtape doesn't mean that other people didn't.
Nobody liked this mixtape. Soft got a little bit of buzz, but nobody. I didn't hear anybody talk about this tape. Nobody.
Do you think this album ever comes out?
I didn't even think about it. I'm just shocked that he's putting out a second mixtape and announcing an album. That's really that's thirsty. This is definitely, this lets me know that him and Banks are in that early to mid 2000s style, like, way of thinking as far as marketing their projects.
Mm.
Because again, Banks put out all those mixtapes and did not shoot one video. He just let the music drive it. It's like, you know, like, people got to see you.
But Banks is still good. Like, he,
yeah, no,
he has
Banks,
a little bit of a cult following. Like,
sure, he sure does. He sure does.
So he can sort of get by with that.
Yeah.
Like, to me, Banks is always in the mode where if a single catches fire, he can shoot a video and all of a sudden he'll get a release date probably.
Yeah.
right? Because he's got a very consistent fan base.
Yeah.
Juelz doesn't have that.
Oh, he does it?
You don't think you think he does?
I'm joking. Okay. joking. I'm yeah. totally
joking. And then your man Papoose apparently has a release date.
He's got a release date for the Nasarima Dream. Finally. 2005 Armand is excited. 2013 Armand is tickled.
Does he still wear the shirts with the nines on them?
Yeah, he still wears Geno Green and the leather fitted. Somebody tell me if we have any New York listeners on the show, because it's the only state that wears leather fitted, I'm convinced. Maybe Toronto, because Toronto, New York, I heard it like the same. But if you wear a leather fitted, like, is the inside leather too? Like, is that is it heavy? Does it have like holes in the hat to like let your scalp breathe? How does that work? My goodness. But yeah, Nasarima Dream drops March 5th. Are we doing a Clock Radio Speakers on it?
No.
Come on, man.
Look.
He did Alphabetical Slaughter 2. He went from Z to A, son.
Wait, was that released as a song?
He did it on Tim Westwood. It's supposed to be a song. You want me to play it?
No. I'm really good. How many different versions of this album do you think have existed?
Oh, at least five.
I wonder if he kept something.
That's a great question. Did he leave Jive with $1.5 million and his advance and his masters? Did he even record anything while he was on Jive other than that really bad Snoop song?
That would have been funny, right? If he took the 1.5 and then just did nothing.
Yo. He was bragging about that 1.5, boy. You couldn't tell him nothing. Like, yo, he got a 1.5 million? Probably still paying back.
Is that really true? I mean, it was rumored, like, you know, Nas paid $1 million for a Neptune's beat? That's what that feels like to me. I don't think that's real.
I forgot all about that, and then people were saying that it was the flyest.
No, nobody paid him.
And then I was like, yeah, that's the $1 million beat. It's the flyest. And it ended up on, like, what was it, like the Rush Hour 3 soundtrack or something like that?
Charlie's Angels.
Whatever.
Yo, how did I know that? My God.
That's just more proof that we need to do a Neptune's retrospective.
Oh, that'll come. I'm not too worried about that. So any other random newsery we need to talk about?
I don't think so. I think we can get into the meat and potatoes of this episode. Dang, steak and potatoes sound good right now. We can get to, you know, the heart of this episode.
Your man.
My man.
Joe Budden.
I own that.
Joe Budden, a.k.a. Joe Buttons, a.k.a. Rasheed Wallace.
A.k.a. Jump Off Joe. Pause. A.k.a. Mr. Pump It Up.
So, when was the last time he had a... I'm trying to think. He's an artist who, like, I never keep track of what's mixtape and what's an album. What was his last album?
I can totally break that down.
I'm sure you can.
His last album was Escape Route. That came out in
2009? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
But even though they released Mood Music 4 as a retail album, it was announced as a mixtape, but they did put out an iTunes version with, you know, different samples and
sure
stuff like that.
Okay.
But yeah, last official album was Escape Route.
And so what's he been doing since Escape Route?
Escape Route, he dropped Mood Music 4.
Yep.
Which to me was the best out of the four.
Okay.
He dropped, he did two albums with Slaughterhouse. One was independent, one was on E1 or Koch or whatever. The second one was on Shady. You can go back and listen to that wonderful episode. You can listen to us talk about Slaughterhouse for 3 hours on clockradiospeakers.com.
I don't even know how that was possible.
I don't know how it was possible, but that was crazy. And then he put out a Mood Music 4.5, which was like a little EP with like five or six songs on it. And I believe he put out another tape like in November called A Loose Quarter.
Yep. We went track by track on that.
Oh, we did? Okay. Dang, I forgot about that. Yeah, so... That's pretty much what he's been doing musically.
Now, there's this whole other side of the Joe Budden experience.
Yes, a totally different side that is completely contrary to the type of music he makes up until this album.
And how would you describe that?
He almost lives a life that is like a R&B star. He's with a lot of women. He's very prevalent on social media. It's weird because his social media presence, I know a lot of people who follow him on Twitter and are into his Twitter personality, but then don't listen to his music because they're so different that up until this album, it didn't really transcend into, you know, his persona did not transcend musically. So, you know, he's talking about women. He's taking all these Instagram pictures with all these half naked, you know, butt models. And then he makes an album about how he's, you know, popping Percocets and he's, you know, depressed. It's weird. So, you know, up until now you've got, you know, this album, No Love Lost, is coupled with his appearance, his heavy appearance, actually, on VH1's Love and Hip Hop. So
you ready to go track by track on this?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
All right. So,
I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'm mad nervous because Joe Budden, let me tell y'all, Joe Budden is he's my favorite. He's my favorite rapper, period.
Ever.
He's not ever. Ever's probably Jay.
Okay, but like right in 2013.
Of this era. I'd say of like the 2000s.
Okay.
I'll say he's my favorite of two. He's not the best. He's not the greatest. He's my favorite. There's a difference.
Okay.
But yeah. So, you know, I know Doc has never really been like a huge Budden fan.
Yep.
So, so I'm always like nervous. So I'm like, hey, Doc, are we going to talk about this? Because I'm just waiting on slander. Like, I just know
Nah. See, this is how I get a bad rep. It's not.
You're right.
It's not slander. It's an opinion. That's, you know. So, track one.
Yep.
Our First Again.
Yep.
Produced by SLV.
Yep.
Who's got a number of appearances on the album.
Yeah, SLV's a group.
Okay.
It's Joe, Imani, Parks the engineer, and I think there's another guy that helps with production.
Oh.
So it's similar to Cocaine 80s.
Gotcha. So SLV, I should read that as, okay, so Joe Budden and Imani.
Yeah, basically Joe Budden and Imani, but they've got a few other pieces, just like Cocaine 80s is James Fauntleroy.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
So, you know, Our First Again, it's an intro.
Yep.
With not much going on.
Nah, he beat is dope. He does a little prayer and then, you know.
Takes us right into Top of the World.
Yeah.
Featuring your man, Kirkle Banks.
Aubrey Graham.
Produced by Ms. Fitz Sounds.
SoundCloud.
Yeah, you know.
That name reeks of SoundCloud.
This reeks of him sort of going, man, you know, people like that 2011 Drake sound. So I really need one of those sounds.
Which Budden was actually.
You think?
Right. Budden's been trying to get Drake on a record for years, but Drake is out of his budget.
We have a run of tracks starting here where he's actually doing a decent Drake impersonation.
Who, Budden?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Listen to his flow, especially on, I'd say on this three track run right here.
Okay.
He's doing a serious Drake. Think like go listen like Drake on Pop That or No Lie, and then listen to these.
Okay.
And you're gonna be like, oh wow, he just straight up stole his flow.
You love that Pop That verse, don't you?
I think it's good. I pointed out because to me it is a very typical example of the type of verses that he dropped in 2012. I think No Lie is better.
Okay.
But I do like, yeah, that's the worst part about Pop That is like, you know, if you remove French Montana, the song gets dramatically better. And if you remove Lil Wayne, it gets even better.
Oh my God. And now Lil Wayne has actually buried his brand before it even took off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because no guy wants to wear Truck Fit because of that verse. You didn't see that? I think it was J.R. Smith or something like that tweeted like a bunch of, you know, Truck Fit sent him a bunch of clothes. And everybody was like, well, what'd you do to get the Truck Fit?
Let me tell you who I don't follow on Twitter. I don't follow rappers. I don't follow celebrities. I don't follow NBA players. So that's a whole world I don't exist in.
I follow bloggers who follow all those people. So
yeah.
That's my problem. That's my freaking problem.
So Kurt Cobain is doing his best Drake impersonation here.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this song?
It's cool. It's cool. You know, I'm not mad at 2011 Drake. And I'll make it, and this kind of speaks of an example of an ultimate point that I want to make as a longtime Joe Budden fan, but I'll wait until the end to do that.
Okay.
That's cool. What you think?
If I wanted 2011 Drake, I'd just go listen to 2011 Drake.
Like, sound like me.
I'm going to pull in our mind here. Like, if I'm listening to this, I don't know who Joe Budden is right now. I know he likes Drake.
Sure.
And that gets really apparent when you get to the next song, She Don't Put It Down, featuring, speaking of, Lil Wayne and Tank.
Yep.
Obvious T-minus beat.
Sure.
This is old, right? This has been
he's had this for a while.
Yeah, because this is right out of the I'm On One.
Yeah.
T-minus, man, he really pimped out that synth noise, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Again, total Drake imitation here. From the just the whole feel of the song. It's like, you know how they had like Kids Bop, where it's like kids singing like versions of popular songs. I don't even know what to call this, like Ratchet Bop, or like, you know, I don't.
Oh, he called it Kids Bop. Yo,
like this is clearly meant to be like, oh, I like Drake's. I like how those songs sound. You know, I loved She Will, and I loved. Oh, sure, this is the same thing.
Oh my God. Now you're going to make me watch a Kids Bop video of chicken noodle soup.
Wait, they hit a Kids Bop of chicken noodle soup?
Son.
What's the point?
I don't know, but it's hilarious. I gotta get you on YouTube, man. I know your YouTube game is on par, but I'm going to have to bring you over to my side. You're on a whole different level.
You're sitting here talking about Kids Bop videos. We talk about Kids Bop.
Oh, not a game. Kids
Bop. How do you feel about She Don't Put It Down?
Again, I like it. It's obvious. It's an obvious I'm On One, Jack. But I liked I'm On One. So, you know, I see your point about, you don't know who Joe Budden is after this, or who Joe Budden is after hearing these first two songs, but I'm not mad at it. I like Wayne's verse. It's not a struggle verse.
Wayne's verse is not a struggle here.
Not at all. And I'm not mad at Tank on the hook. You know, he could have easily went and got Chris Brown or, you know, somebody A-list. But, you know, he got somebody that he actually likes. And if you follow Joe Budden, you know that Joe Budden is a Tank fan. So it makes sense.
Okay. I was going to say, because Tank on this is a little weird to me, because I don't associate Tank with this kind of song.
Right. Sure. What do you associate Tank with? Maybe I deserve?
Yeah, something like that. Grab like Lloyd, or I don't, you know, if you can't get Chris Brown, you know, there's other.
Oh, Lloyd should have been on one of these songs on the album. We'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think part of what hurts, like for me listening, someone who's not a Joe Budden fan, like, is the sequencing, actually. The fact that he packs these three obvious radio tracks right back one after another, and the fact that they all have a little bit of Drake, like, sort of flavor to them. Pause.
You think this next one sounds like Drake?
The Boy Wonder drums, okay. For starters. Yeah, so we're talking about NBA.
National Basketball Association?
Never Broke Again. This just, man. So first of all, this sounds like this is pretty standard, like, urban radio fodder, like for 2012, 2013. fodder. And that's sort of depressing. Actually, that you know, it's produced by Vinyls and Boy Wonder, Wiz and French are on it. Again, obvious Boy Wonder drums. So let me talk about what I like about this song.
Okay.
I like Wiz Khalifa on this song.
Wow.
He's actually kind of energetic.
That's the first time I've heard somebody say I like Wiz Khalifa besides me in the last year. He's gotten a lot of slander this year.
He deserved almost all of it.
Oh my God.
He's fallen asleep on his own tracks. Like, but he doesn't sound like he's asleep here, which is, incredible. You know, French is French.
French is French.
It's for what it is. It is solidly executed.
Okay.
Uninspiring.
I agree with that.
And again, I think he's still using Drake's flow. Or maybe is this just how Joe Budden's up-tempo flow sounds?
Yeah.
It sounds exactly like Drake's up-tempo flow.
Yeah.
There's actually... what's that?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's actually kind of interesting that, you know, Joe Budden, he did the emo thing...
way before Drake did.
But Drake comes in and crushes the buildings.
Drake is like a Fonte Joe Budden hybrid.
Oh God, and don't say that.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
No.
Because Fonte makes emo, whatever. And then when Drake rapid early Drake, I'll say when early Drake rapidly raps, it was super Fonte little brother.
Sure.
So but he just went through and crushed the buildings and, you know, ate some more rappers and
That. I mean just like stop. Joe Budden's gotta be sitting there going, are you kidding me? Like,
sure.
You know, Drake can make a song about, you know, drunk dialing a girl and people go crazy. If I did that 5 years ago, I'd get killed.
Right.
That's
true.
But yeah, so, you know, to me, that's a, like, I think just to me, putting those three singles back to back, like, I'm listening to this album, I'm like, oh, wow, we're going straight. Like, you know, this is a whole different Joe Budden.
Yeah.
But then from here on out, I feel like we go back into regular Joe Budden territory. Is that accurate?
Yeah, for the most part. There's a few records that are a little different, but yeah, we kind of go back into the wheelhouse. Especially this run right here.
Yeah.
It's a really big run. First is You and I with Imani. This is the record. To me, Imani sounds like Lloyd on this record. It's weird. Imani, sometimes he sounds like Imani, but then a good chunk of times he sounds like a hybrid of Lloyd, Trey Songz, and every other R&B artist under the age of 25.
Yeah, this is produced by Cardiac. This feels like an old Cardiac beat. Maybe it feels like something from like 5 years ago.
Mm.
It's a decent beat.
Yeah, I like this beat.
It's cool. The song is all right. It's okay.
That's something you say like when you play. I just imagine you playing Little League baseball and the score was like 2-0. Like it was a really boring game. And you're like, oh, it was a good game.
Yeah, it was all right. You know, I got to stand outside. You know, got a little
fresh air. Yeah, you know.
Got
a single, got a double. Like a pitcher's duel. Mad boring. Nobody cares.
Yeah, you know, Imani is. You know, I'm really like tough on R&B hooks. To me, there's like good R&B hooks, and then there's every other R&B hook. Like, I don't have a sliding scale of like to me, it's pretty rare that I'm like, oh, you know, that was an okay hook. Yeah. Like, it's either, ah, oh, it's a good hook, or oh God, turn it off.
Yeah,
I think R&B hooks are hard.
Mm.
But you know, You and I is okay.
Okay.
After this, we got Castles.
Yeah.
Produced by Vinyls.
I thought this was T-.
There's definitely a little bit of T-minus synthery in there.
Yeah, the synth is super T-minus.
Yep. To me, this is like the Wonder Bread version of like an ASAP Rocky beat.
You think so?
Yeah. Sort of the, you know, feels very cloudy, as I like to call his music.
Yeah. You did call ASAP Rocky's music cloudy.
I called it cloud rap.
I love this show. I love this show.
People like this song.
I like this song.
Why do you like this song?
It's just dope. I don't know why.
I like the piano.
Yeah, I like the piano, and I like this beat, man.
Beat is okay. Beat is cool.
The beat, you know. Joe, I think Joe. We're not getting Loose Quarter Joe. We're not getting Slaughterhouse Joe, or we're not getting Mood Music Joe. We're not getting like Freestyle Joe. We're getting like a little like Slaughterhouse Joe.
Okay.
Like Slaughterhouse had him rapping over like these, like those kind of bouncy, faster beats where you have to kind of like speed his, you know, do the New York rapper. I'm going to rap real slow and then finish them out really fast like that.
yes, and, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. And like, it's cool. And that's just probably me being a Stickler fan, you know, that just kind of wants him to just rap. You know, this beat could have used a slightly faster BPM for Joe.
Mm.
Just for that. But I like the song. I think it's dope.
Yeah, it's all right. It's okay.
Okay.
I'm not excited about it, but it's not, you know, offensive.
Oh my God. Okay. So now we're going to go into All In My Head with Royce 5'9 and Kobe.
Kobe. Yeah.
This was on the tape. This
I was going to say, didn't we already hear the song?
Yes, we did. This was on the tape.
Does anybody like Kobe's hooks?
I loved Kobe on it's Kobe. I just
I know I'm calling it Kobe now though. That's
I loved Kobe on I'ma do it on a Fab joint. Black and hot and I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I like that. I like that hook.
Okay.
I actually like that intro for Loso's Way. That was a dope record. Challenge Fab. Fab, you know.
I didn't need to hear this song again.
I didn't either. This song is terrible.
Yeah.
This song is terrible.
Is it because he needed something with Royce on it?
Probably. I'm going to say that. And I know Royce was going through a detox period where he was like sobering up. He wasn't
angry Royce.
Right. He was getting off of alcohol. So there's a very good possibility that, you know, while he was detoxing, he wasn't rapping and he needed a verse while he was detoxing. So he was just like, I'll just use this record that I already have. Even though they have other records, they've got a record called See Me Dead that's like a Joe Budden urban legend. Back when, you know, he was bored and he would get on Blog TV and he'd just play unreleased records. Sound familiar? And he would play that record and the record is stupid. But for whatever reason, it's just sitting there.
Sample?
Probably. There's another record. Oh, if they would have put that record. He has a record with Marsha Ambrosius that is retarded. Oh,
there you go.
Sample. You just don't like Marsha Ambrosius for whatever weird reason.
It's not inspiring to me.
If I get a budget, she's the first person I'm calling. Her and El Varner, but I'm not calling El Varner to do a record. I'm going to trap her. Wow. Like, yeah, let's do a record.
Wow.
She's going to go to the studio. It's going to be mad candles and roses on the joint. Like.
I love how for Amon, like, first it's like, I'm going to trap her. And every female's just like, ah! And then he's like, no, I'm going to trap her with roses.
No, I'm trapping with love. It's Valentine's season.
Wait, hold on. Can we please make a Valentine's Day record called Trapping for Love?
If you can make me like an I'm on one slow beat, or we can find like a fake T-minus beat on YouTube, I'll do it.
Trapping for Love.
Oh, that is wonderful.
I need a moment.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Woo!
So, yeah, All In My Head.
Still recovering. All right, All My Head. Yeah. It's no Trapping for Love, that's for sure.
Not Trapping for Love.
So we get the rest of Slaughterhouse up next with Skeletons. We get Joelle and Crooked.
Yep. Janae Akio was supposed to be on this hook.
There's somebody on the hook who's uncredited. I don't know.
Yeah, because she was the reference hook.
Gotcha.
They were supposed to get Janae.
There's a couple uncredited hooks here.
Yeah, towards the end of the album. Yep. Yeah.
So this is produced by Frequency. Let me say shout out to Frequency. He's actually a really nice guy.
Okay.
We used to roam in the same. Let me go down to New York and go to beat battles and conferences and all that.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, he was a part of the when I first did that David Porter flip.
Yeah.
He was a part of that too. He's got those files too. His was dope too. So yeah, shout out to Frequency. But you know, beat is cool.
I like the drums.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, we got some more Slaughterhouse.
Yeah, they do their, you know, Crooked Eye does his rapidy rap. I'm gonna say a bunch of words that rhyme, but I'm really not saying anything.
Uh-huh.
And then Joelle is going to reference his mom being on crack and him selling drugs and his sons. So you get your Slaughterhouse, you know, your standard Slaughterhouse fodder, in the words of Doc.
Yeah. This is all right.
Yeah, it's nah.
It's okay.
I'm cool.
Ghetto Burbs.
Ghetto Burbs. This was a song that the Joe Budden TV, blog TV people were like begging for to put on this album.
And really?
I had never heard it. I just heard about it. You know, yeah, when is Ghetto Burbs going to be put out? You need to put out Ghetto Burbs. That should be a single, da-da-da-da-da. And then I heard it and I was like, this? Really?
Yeah, featuring Imani, produced by Sean C and LV.
That's what pisses me off.
Yeah, remember when they killed that American Gangsta album?
Exactly!
What happened to them?
What happened to that? This just has to be like a CD beat.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be. There's no way the Sean C and LV that made American Gangsta make this beat. Or yeah. Maybe it's just the fact that this beat would have been a lot better in 2001.
No.
This is like Joe Budden Def Jam demo focus.
You know, this hook is just terrible.
The hook is bad.
Song is just really generic.
It's super generic.
This is kind of a really mediocre run of tracks. Like, you know, All in My Head, Skeletons, Get Over It, like, ugh.
Yeah.
So you don't like Ghetto Burbs, obviously?
No. No. So what about Last Day?
Featuring Juicy J and your man Lloyd Banks.
Yeah.
Produced by A6, whoever that is. You know, this
there's
to me.
No diss to, let me say this: there's no diss to SoundCloud because I've stumbled on some amazing producers on SoundCloud. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you called them. What was that place? Oh man, SoundClick. Now you say SoundClick. I mean. Like, you know, relax.
MP3.com.
Rockwilder album. What was it called?
What was his call? Was it like standard produce? I produce?
Nah, I standard producers. That's a whole different thing.
It's a whole different thing. Okay.
I forget what Rockwilder's is called. Back, you know, in the MySpace days when everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to sell beats online.
Oof.
Struggle. So this Last Day song, I feel like this would be a cool mixtape song.
This is the next single. Either it's gonna be this. No, this is gonna be the fourth single because She Don't Put It Down Like You's the first single.
Uh-huh.
They shot a video for Castles, and they're shooting videos for NBA and Last Day.
NBA is an obvious single. Like, why would you make NBA if it's not a single?
Right. Yeah, this is a single too.
And shouldn't you have NBA ready for All Star Weekend?
Right, that should be out like now.
Right, because
when's All Star Weekend? Next weekend?
Yeah, or like the weekend? No. It can't.
Nah, it's Valentine's Day weekend, right? No, isn't Valentine's Day weekend? Valentine's Day
Grammys.
Weekend
the Grammys weekend. Are next weekend.
Nah, the Grammys are this weekend.
Oh, okay. I see what. Yeah.
Yeah, Grammys are this weekend. This
so
Sunday.
Yeah, you're right. It's the weekend after.
Jeez, you're right. This should totally be
because then he could go and. You know, all the, like, I don't even know where it's at this year, but, you know, they're going to have all sorts. Yeah, oh, God, Houston. So, you know, there's going to be, you know, clubs everywhere with appearances, and he just, you know.
And a bunch of thugs who migrated from Katrina that are going to be robbing a bunch of rappers, too.
So, Last Day is all right.
I like it.
Again, Budden's flow. His sped up flow just sounds like Drake.
Yeah, he gets washed on this record.
Possibly by Juicy J.
Both. But it's weird.
Banks has a nice flow here.
You expect Banks to have the generic mid-2000s flow.
Nah. Banks is good here.
Yes, he's very good here. And yeah, and Juicy J's verse is memorable. It's catchy.
I like Juicy J on here. Like, this sounds like, when it's funny, like, when you hear Budden on this beat, you're like, okay, when you hear Juicy on it, all of a sudden it sounds like a Juicy song.
It picks up. It totally switches gears. I agree with that.
See, this is sometimes the problem when you go first on a collaboration.
Because now they're just going to cut your verse out.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool. After this, we get Role Play, which is a total skip.
Yep.
Stupid interlude.
We still doing interludes in...
Especially that kind of interlude.
Yeah.
Because now we get... Switch Positions featuring your man Maybach O, produced by Cardiac.
Yeah,
how you feel about this?
I like this record.
What a mediocre song.
Oh, you're killing me.
No, seriously, this is, oh man,
you're killing me. It's not a great, amazing song, but I think it's dope.
You think this song, you think Switch Positions is dope?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's from that Dice Pineapples wheelhouse that Cardiac has.
If Dice Pineapples is like an A level song, this is like a C minus.
Nah, that's like a C plus.
C. Oh, okay.
78%.
Which is not dope.
It's passing. He can still play ball. He doesn't have to sit down. His grades are still good enough to play.
I think we just mixed too many metaphors there.
C minus, you know, you might get your minutes cut.
This song is really mediocre. And then they follow that up with Tell Him Something.
Yeah.
Featuring SLV, produced by SLV.
Yep, this is an SLV record. SLV leaked, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 records. They leaked Unison, Tell Him Something, What Your Name Is, and another song that I can't repeat because the title is derogatory. Basically, Forget That Condom, but I can't say the other.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, to me, like, when you got the role play interlude and Switch Positions, Tell Him Something, it's like they're just waving a big, giant, attention, everybody, we've reached the chick portion of the album.
Sure. But, I mean, you this is what I'm talking about. These are the type of songs that match with the Joe Burton.
Yes. Oh, jump off Joe Burton.
Oh, man. These are the type of records that match up with the Joe Budden persona. You stand with a bunch of chicks. Why are you not making chick records? And I think that light probably came on for him in the last like 2.5 years. Like, all right, we see you with Tahiri. We see you with all these model chicks. Da 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 da. Like, why are you making pill popping music? Like, you should make something that's conducive to that audience because women see that. And I know a lot of women that are, you know, attracted to Joe, attracted to his personality. So make music for him. You have that audience.
Absolutely. I mean, it's too bad he's not making good music for them. The song
they
is.
Like this. They like this record.
Okay, who's they?
The audience that he's making it for. Not you know, 20-something white and black guys from the East Coast.
Who's this record for?
I don't know. Dominican chicks from Brooklyn. I don't know. It's for women. It's obviously for women.
But to me, it's a. It's too obvious of an attempt. Like, I don't know. Like, I think you can make records that appeal to more than just men without, like, sort of being so, like, over the top. Like, this just is, like, to me, I don't know. It's sort of like old style thing about, like, how you make records.
I think that.
Like, all right, I gotta have a chick song. Like, come on. That's just the rock. I mean, first of all, it's insulting. But, you know, it's like, come on, man. Like, you could make a romantic song. You could make... But see, guys can't... Like, rappers can't make romantic songs. They gotta make chick records.
I think that Budden is a... I think that Budden has admitted to being an extreme person. He has an addictive personality.
Okay.
So if you know somebody with an addictive personality, you know that they do things to the extreme.
Okay.
So I think that's why you get when he makes a depressing record, he's super depressed. When he makes a club record, it's a super club record. If he makes a chick record, it's super chicky. So I think that's what you get.
That's not really what I meant by chick record. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's almost like when people like when companies try to be like cool or like relate and they end up like hiring Will.i.am to do something and they totally miss the point because nobody who's young actually gives a crap about Will.i.am. that's what these chick quote-unquote records feel like to me. It's like he's like, all right, I'm gonna make chick records and appeal to this audience, and he goes in this direction and it's like, oh god, what are you doing? But if there is an audience for it, you know, good for him. Can I just say I tried to snag the Twitter handle Joe Burton and somebody has it, because there's really a dude named Joseph Burton.
Really?
Yeah, he's never tweeted.
Oh wow!
I'm mad. How much fun I could have had with at Joe Burton?
Now I gotta look for it.
So after Tell Him Something, we get Runaway, produced by B-Works.
Yeah.
Is this album over yet? My goodness. To me, this is like a nod to his fans who wanted like that mood music sound.
Absolutely it is.
You know, he's got guitars, live sounding drums. It's angsty. Yep.
Right, right. That's true.
How do you feel about this record?
This record grew on me.
Okay.
Yeah, this record grew on me. I really like the second verse. Second verse is dope. But yeah, I like it. I like the drums. I'm not really big on the hook. Got the guitar solo on the end. That's become like a button staple. But yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
You're looking up Joe Burden right now, aren't you?
I already looked him up. He's got 5 followers.
It's a shame.
And no tweets.
It's a real shame. After this, we get My Time, produced by Dark Knight and 8 Bars.
Yeah, I'm good.
This is a super generic beat.
I'm good on the rest of this album.
Yeah.
These last 2 records are completely unnecessary. And yeah, they sound...
No Love Lost, which is the last record before the remix, produced by Cardiac. Like, when the song came on, all I could think was, you know, our favorite, you know, Chappelle skit. I just, you know, it's like Cardiac, play the fight riff. Like, you know, guitar comes in. the beat is actually all right. I just don't like Button on it.
No, I'm good. I'm sure the ending will run away.
Okay, so as a Button fan, how do you feel about this album?
Are we going to talk about the remix?
I mean, we can. I mean, it's...
I mean, we don't have to.
No, I mean, what do you want to say about the remix? I mean, it's...
Nothing. I just want to, you know... Do you think that it was... Do you think it was necessary to do a remix?
Did I see the correctly for the video? Did they combine the 2 versions?
They did. So they've got... It goes Joe, Fab, and then Wayne.
Makes sense. Fab, yeah, you know. That sort of makes sense to me.
No Twista?
If you're combining... And it's meant to be, you know what it is? Like, it's just getting that fourth verse is tough for like a single.
Yeah.
You know? Song gets to be a little long. Yeah.
I feel it.
How do you feel about Fab?
Oh, super generic. Fab is like really trying to do a Drake impression, but his Button's impression of Drake is way better than Fab's.
Mm. And Twista?
I like Twista on this.
Yeah, I like him too, but he's not. I mean, if you're making a record called "She Don't Put It Down," and you've got if your options for combining into one are, you know, Fab, Wayne, and Twista, you're going with Fab and Wayne, right?
Yeah, Twista's out, man. Out.
So as a Button fan,
All right, I'll say this.
Yep,
I appreciate the fact that Joe is stepping out of his fan base's comfort zone because, you know, Joe has been making R&B records forever, you know, doing R&B remixes and jumping on R&B records. And so he's rapped about women for a while. So to hear him rap about certain things like that and even club records, I mean, come on, Pump It Up, Fire, like Focus. So these aren't, it's not weird to hear him like, why is he rapping over, you know, why is this his song topic? Why is he rapping about the club? Why is he not rapping about mood music? I'm glad that I didn't get mood music because I don't want to hear that.
Okay.
Button is definitely, to me, he's reached his apex as far as emo records. Like, I'm good. After Mood Music 4, some of the records on Mood Music 3, like, I'm cool. I don't need to hear another depressing Button record ever. Okay. There's really nothing new that he brings to the table. Now, the album as a whole, while I appreciate that he stepped outside of his box and made an attempt to, I guess, go pop on Joe Budden terms, yep, this album is very mediocre.
Yeah.
I think I listened to it the night that I got it. I listened to it like 5 or 6 times. I was really happy to hear these types of records. But then I went to bed and I woke up the next morning and I was like, what is this? It felt totally different. So, yeah, this album is very, very mediocre. This could have been like, you know, if you wanted to do this could have been like a 10-track album. But you know, I give it like another week or two. I won't be listening to it.
So what would you have preferred he do differently? Is it the execution?
You know what, man? I'm just not sure that Button can make a certain level of music.
Wow.
I'm just not sure. I think Button is an incredible lyricist. but his entire career has been plagued with mediocre beats and limited subject matter, limited execution of subject matter. You know, Bun doesn't tell stories on this album. He could have told a story. You know, you can stay in your wheelhouse, but just execute it correctly. You know, so with this album, I'm like, eh, I mean, you know, I think he's projected to do like 30 this week. So, I mean, I'm happy for him. But nah, I'm cool.
Okay. I'm cool. Do you think the reality show and his sort of social media persona, do you think that's helping him or hurting him?
It's exposing him to a different audience who, because when I talk to people, people are like, oh, I didn't even know Joe Budden was still around. Mm. Joe Budden's here. You know what I'm saying? Between that, the shady cipher from the BET Awards, like you'll see stuff. He'll see him here and there like, oh, Budden is still around. It's like that. Now that he's in the public eye more consistently, they're like, oh, okay, it's Joe Budden. And, you know, but then on the flip, Love and Hip Hop is a show, or reality TV is a place where, you know, celebrities kind of go to die if they're not already dead. But, you know, for Joe, it's actually kind of sort of working for him. But that's due to, you know, his manipulative personality. But that's a totally different topic.
All right. So you sound a little disappointed.
I was pretty much expecting this.
Okay.
I was expecting this. But again, I think that he accomplished what he set out to do as an artist. I'm just, as a fan, like, not blown away by it. Mm. I get it. I'm not mad at it. It's not really for me. And I don't even know what I want for Joe Budden at this point. You know, this, I think Budden for me is starting to venture into that show Barack and Peter Pan thing where I'm getting older, I'm seeing things different, and Joe is still rapping about the same things he was rapping about 10 years ago. And it's like, come on, like, I want to hear some progression in you as an artist, as a man. Your growth as a human should transcend into the music. And I don't hear it to the degree that I expect to hear it. So that's my problem.
Mm. Okay. We got anything else we want to talk about this week?
I think we're good.
I think we're good too. Yeah. So, don't forget, you know, if you're listening to this on the week that it came out, we got another episode dropping this week. We're going to tackle the first part of DJ Premier's complete production discography with all the details you would expect from Clock Radio speakers. So if you don't got anything else to say, man, I think that's about it. You know, as always, follow us both on Twitter, follow the official Twitter account of the show, like us on Facebook, you know, all that other stuff. And don't forget, catch up to armonwakeup.com. You got anything?
Yes, sir.
You got anything else, man? All right.
See you on side B.